Okay, so basically Donnie will catch you up. Because you weren't here yet and Shimon is still celebrating with his brother who got engaged, Mazel Tov. So the request was we do some sugya that are bit chazara, so we spared you that yesterday we continued with the Negiya stuff and stuff while you weren't here, so you wouldn't have to hear it. So today, we'll continue what we started 2 days ago, which was we had discussed extensively on Daf Yud Beis and on Daf Yud Zayin the potential prohibitions of going into a church, of praying in a place where it looks like you're serving Avodah Zarah, right? The Maris Ayin issues in Daf Yud Beis, right? You can't even take the thorn out of your foot in front of an Avodah Zarah because of Maris Ayin. Is that your Hagvel Yavor? Is it not? Etc. And then the prohibition...
Exactly a thorn.
That was the case in Yud Beis, remember? Remember the thorn in your foot in front of Avodah Zarah, or the coins that fell, or the water fountain that you're drinking off of, which is an idol? Remember all those
sugya? Yeah, this one I do.
Yeah, that was all Daf Yud Beis. And then there was the sugya on Tetzayin Amud Beis, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, of Harchek Me'alecha Dargechot, stay away from Avodah Zarah, stay away from Minut, stay away from Beit Zonot, stay away from all that stuff. Right, those were the two of the parts of the prohibition of entering churches. And the third was simply the Isur Hana'ah, which we saw in the Rishonim, that they just assumed that if something is a Beis Avodah Zarah, then going in would be an Isur Hana'ah. Now, a slightly different case, which is not from that, but is related conceptually, is the question of a multi-faith space, right? Or a space which is not Mi'u'ad, or is not designated for Avodah Zarah. What's the status? Right? So, just to summarize where we were, right? So it starts in a mechilta, right? The mechilta notes that after Barad, Moshe Rabbeinu is asked by Paro to pray in his behalf to stop the Barad. He agrees, but only he says, "Kitzeti et ha'ir, I'll daven for you when I leave the city." From which the midrash derives that why not in the city? Why couldn't he pray in the city? So what does the midrash say? Right, because there was avodah zarah around. There's gilulim v'shikutzim, right? So from here, Rashi notes that one shouldn't, again, the exact level of this prohibition is unclear, and that's what we'll talk about, that one should not daven in a city which is full of idols, or a place which is full of idols, presumably similar to the way you can't daven in a makom tinuf, right, where there's feces and the light, right, near a bathroom, right, there's spiritual zuama as well, there's spiritual filth. In addition, the Gemara in Shabbos writes that Rabbi Yeshua didn't even want to bring his tefillin into the Beit Matronisa, into this matron's house, because of all the problematic things that happened there, from which you also see that there is a problem of doing or bringing spiritual things into a house, into a space which is idolatrous. From this, the Shulchan Aruch was asked, if someone has a choice of davening, right, he's traveling, and he has two choices. He can daven while traveling, but that would probably mean davening on the road and being interrupted, which is usur, right? Because remember, you're not allowed to daven when you're going to be interrupted, right? This is part of those extensive sugyot, right? You don't daven when you just come back from traveling and things like that. Chasan patur, right? Right, the Pitur of a Chasan, right, because he's just got married, he's involved in other things, there are all these different sugya that we have that point to both a Pitur and an Isser of davening when you are incapable of concentrating. So if your choice is davening on the road or davening in the hotel, but you know it's not a idolatrous house, but it's a devout Christian, let's say, and there's icons everywhere, right? So Truman Sedeshin says, look, if you can avoid both problems, meaning while you're traveling you can find a little enclave on the side of the road where no one's going to bother you, so you can daven without a Avodah Zarah around and without being interrupted, matovu manayim, that's the ideal. If you can't, which problem is worse, right? Meaning, if I have the choice between the road where I'll get interrupted and the hotel where I won't get interrupted but there's icons around, which is worse?
Where you get interrupted.
Right, being interrupted is worse, right? That's what the Truman Sedeshin writes. And the Ramah Paskin is this way, right? Now, why? Why is it worse? So two possibilities, right? Either you say that this notion of not davening in a place of Avodah Zarah is not a real isser, right? It's like a bad thing to do, as opposed to davening where you can be interrupted, which is an isser. And therefore, isser versus bad thing to do, you choose, right? You choose bad thing to do over isser, right? Or you say, what? No, that it's really usser, but Nowadays, as we've already seen, we're more makel. Remember, the Rambam says that the Isra going into a church, that right, that sugya, really derives that you're not allowed to enter into a city, right? Live in a city where there are idols. But we all do, Bizman Hazek, because what choice do we have? Right? So once you're already waiving the Isra, right? Like, meaning it's somewhat suspended due to need. So maybe, in theory, they're equivalent to Isurim, but in practice, since we all live in idolatrous cities anyways... Right, at least in Chutzars, everyone lives when there's, you know, churches and stuff around, right? Now, we saw that that was the difference between the Machzor Shekel and the Mishnah Berurah, right? Which of those formulations you take, right? But the conclusion, basically, that everyone has in terms of that, let me just get this thought out, was that what? It's best to avoid? Correct. And therefore, we saw, like, two sort of modern people that they said, Lamai Nafkamina, right? So what? How does this play out in modern times? So if, right, their case is the airplane multi-faith prayer room, right? Where what's their conclusion? That what, right, should you daven there?
If there's more kavanah there, then yes.
Correct, right? I mean, their basic argument is exactly towards Adeshin. If you can avoid it, you can find a nice quiet place in the airport, you won't be interrupted, it's a nice neutral space, there's no nothing, fine. But if you can't, because it's the hustle and bustle, you're in Naniach, whatever airport you're in Heathrow, JFK, Newark, you know, what? Mashi, yeah? That one? Good, the first bracha, obviously, right? We could get into more nuanced questions, which is what if it's going to be so bad, right, that you won't even have a kavanah? The first bracha, is there a difference between that, right? Presumably. Correct, presumably. Correct, right? Meaning the first bracha, you... Maker, then you have to repeat Shmoneh Esrei if you don't have Kavanah.
Right, but the second bracha.
Right, so you could come up with middle questions, right? Which is, what if I'll be able to have Kavanah
for
the first bracha, but not for the rest? Then which is better, right? I could hear someone saying, well, if you can manage to have Kavanah for the first bracha, right? Right? Now, I don't think the Shmoneh Esrei himself distinguished, because how likely is it, right? Meaning, what's the Shmoneh Esrei saying? If you're davening a place where you know you're not going to get interrupted, right, presumably... Everyone can look around and say, okay, no one's within 30 seconds of me, I can get through the first bracha. Right, what he's saying is, I can't guarantee that for the next 3-4 minutes, you know, in a quick Shmoneh Esrei even, right, that I won't be interrupted. The first bracha would be pretty hard to not be able to say, okay, I'll walk away, you know. Now, look, we could come up with all types of interesting cases, right? You could come up, right, nowadays, right, I've seen a lot of people, what's the trick they use? Right, the cell phone trick, right, is you go into a corner... And you pull out your cell phone, right? And then you daven, right? Because you and you look
like you're on your phone.
Your phone's away. You know, that buys you a few minutes because everyone's like, oh, you know,
like the Harabai people that like before. They're saying to Helene by pretending they're videoing on their phone
or whatever, right?
We never heard that.
No, it's a good vert, right? It may get into other questions because you're not really supposed to carry, you know, hold valuable things in your hand during davening. But whatever, let's assume you're for different times. Look at this. Look at the number of cracks. And you know, it could fall another 10 times. Yeah. I can't imagine you can do anything more to this phone. Fine.
You have an 8 or a
6.
Oh, okay.
Best one.
6. I hate iPhones. This is the first iPhone I've gotten. I liked my
This is not a sponsored price.
This is not sponsored, but no, I liked my Droid much better. I've had Droids until now. And they're so much better. After this phone, I'm going back to a Droid. So much better than the
Apple. Is that why it has these cracks you've been attempting to break?
It's leaving the dark side.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, that is neither here nor there. Not a paid endorsement, but if someone's listening from any company that creates good Androids and wants to give it to me for in service of this sponsorship, I'm just giving you a... What?
Yeah. I'm also selling a somewhat damaged iPhone 6.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyways. But I think that is, right, the simple conclusion from these sugyot. Okay, now, in the second one we had here, the halacha to go person, he does know that what should you do, what you should do is try to cover the icons, right? The overt icons of non-Jews. Now, why would that be true? What sugya is that based on? He doesn't even say it in the Hebrew, but what is that based on? So I don't know if it's based on that or it's based on the Maariv Zion. Right? Remember, back to Daf Yud Beis. Right? If there's a cross in front of you, you're not going to daven
into
it.
Yeah, but then there would be a problem going to do them all together.
No, not necessarily. What do you mean? You could go into somebody's house, right? He happens to have a cross.
Right.
right? And you could say, oh, you obviously are allowed to be in the house, but he says, you know, listen, you can use my bedroom to daven mincha.
It's not for other people, the person might think.
It looks like you're bowing, right? There's a cross, right? You know, so he says, the overt icon you should try to cover, right? Or if you can't cover, turn away, right?
Is it better to daven towards Yerushalayim?
So we'll see, but the post can assume no. That in this case, it would be better to turn away. If you could, now, you know, Ray Clapper told me that once, when he was the rabbi at Harvard Hillel, so the Harvard Hillel where normally davens, it's basically the Orthodox community and maybe some traditional people who come. So the minyan space is not big, right? But Yosef, but what day of the year? When do you need a bigger space?
In terms of Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, right. Because then a lot of people who don't show up the rest of the year for davening show up. Right? So they asked, one year they asked Harvard, where can we daven? And last minute they gave them a hall. Now, what's the problem in Harvard with many of the halls?
Giant Jesus posters.
Why?
Same thing with Cambridge.
Why?
Because
They were all divinity schools. They all started divinity schools, right? Like, divine, right? Meaning they were all like Christian. They were all Christian schools originally. Like God, right? They were all schools about learning about God, right? About Christian things. And even if they haven't been those in hundreds of years, right? They all have like divinity schools with them. A lot of the old sort of big
Eden, do you know
the nostalgic Eden places of that.
A lot of them, right? Most of them, right? So a lot of the old, you know, big spaces have icons, right? They're not churches. They're, you know, it's just that it's a holdover from, you know, however long ago when it still had more of a Christian ethos to the school. So he sent a bunch of people in pre Rosh Hashanah. Right, so what's halacha? Now tell me, what's halacha? You let a daven in a space like that?
Well, if you have no choice.
You have no choice. What's halacha?
It's
not, right? So you have no choice, which means it is bidyevet. So what?
You face the other.
Oh, so what's halacha? Tell me. So you can daven there, but what should you do? If you know what it is, cover the icons. Right, cover them up. Right? So we send someone in advance to cover all the crosses and whatever. Elamai, what happened? He gets in 10 minutes before Rosh Hashanah. No, didn't. Smack in the middle of the room was a big, big, big dedication in Latin that no one understood, which said that this is dedicated to our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So he's like, no, cover that. Right? There's always a problem, right? If you don't know Latin, you're going to miss one.
Yeah.
But anyways, right?
What is Jesus in Latin? Isn't it still Jesus?
No, or it, I don't know if it said Jesus or it was to our Lord, whatever it was. Meaning that was the upshot of it, right? That it was a big sign, right, or engraving or whatever. I wasn't there. This was years ago, but this story always sits in my mind as like,
oh boy,
yeah.
I really think that Christian would like take off in the air the Urim and Thummim sign.
Yeah, no, God forbid. No. Lux et Veritas. Yeah. Good. So, right. So I think that's a relatively fair conclusion. Seriously? Oh my God. It was like I printed out an extra copy, and then the printing died in the middle of the Chelkas Yaakov. So I'll start with the Chelkas Yaakov. When I need it, I'll take it from you, okay? So now let's go back to the Chelkas Yaakov, okay?
Which
this was...
Here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me see. What else did I put on it? Because the... Wait. Oh, no, that's not true. I have a Chelkas Yaakov. Okay. I see. No, it was cut off a different page. That's fine. I have it. Okay. So the Chelkas Yaakov. So far, I think that's pretty fair. That should be a good conclusion of this sugya for the multi-faith, the room thingies. Yeah. You know? What?
Sounds legit.
Good. So the Chelkas Yaakov was asked a slightly different shayla. Slightly. Which is, imutar litpalel derech arai bevayachish al gabav tzlamim v'odazara. Can you daven once in a while in a house that has idols on top of it? Okay? So this is a nice European shayla. Look. V'hagabaneya muflag b'torav yirach hasid Rabbi Shmuel Sternberg shlita bi'ir genf hashvartzit.
Hashveitzarit.
Yeah, where is that?
Price.
Yeah, I mean, Switzerland.
No, I thought he said Ghent, but okay.
Ghent, what is that?
It's a city in Belgium called Ghent.
No, Ghent. Ghent.
Okay,
anyways. Anyways, I don't know. Bidover Sheilato, Ma, I'm sure we can look it up. Malola, so, Shirlaragle. Right? He has sometimes travels. He goes to a hotel. At the hotel, there's icons. Right? There's a cross on the whatever. Right. Now, look, there are a lot of shadows that come up like this, right? I know. You know, sometimes people don't even think about it. I had a, you know, they had a case. It was a. In Canada, there's a few, you know, classes that the Jewish school doesn't offer during the year. You have to take summer school, right? So, like, the school, like, arranges for you to go to one of them. And one of them is, like, this Christian school, right? So, like, fundamentally, there's no problem going to a Christian school, right? Like, Fordham, right? They'll go to Fordham. It's a Christian school, but there's nothing in the law school that is Christian about it. But this year, at least, I remember that someone went, and the first day, they start with Our Lord's Prayer, right?
Thank you, God, for bringing me this, you know, customer.
No, no, the school starts with Our Lord's Prayer. They're like, maybe this is a problem with our sign. Right? Like, anyways, you know, these things do come up.
This kind of sounds different. Like,
no, this is not that. This is a hotel. What? Right? It's a hotel.
Well, most people like, are.
The
Avodah Zarah
on the outside.
Yeah.
It's funny to think about
it. This case was the Avodah Zarah on the inside.
What?
No, it's funny about to think about that situation, but most people nowadays are deities. So. And deism, I mean.
Deists, yeah. You think? I don't know if that's true. Maybe in Europe. I mean, America is very firm. America is very firm. More than 50% of the country.
Wow.
Good, in some way, shape, or form. Anyways.
But nowadays, a lot of people do that, but they don't come.
Oh, yeah, so this is a Shiloh. Now, to be fair, most hotels you go to do not have crosses everywhere, right? The Hilton, the whatever.
Back then was more common.
Well, this isn't so long ago. The Chagas Yaakov is, this tshuva is like in the... And the Chagas Yaakov, this tshuva is probably from the 80s or something, 70s, 80s.
Is there in the regular hotel, only if it has...
Yeah, this is not even so long ago, but yeah. Right, no, a regular, nice, neutral hotel, there's no problem. Right, but he's asking about a hotel, there is a cross there. So what's halacha? Okay. So he says, so remember I already said this, that part of the sugya, right, is that this doesn't seem to be purely Avodah Zarah. It's that Avodah Zarah we treat like... something dirty, right?
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be what's going on here. So he quotes that. He says, "V'nei ba'orachayim siman nun hei sivchaf v'yeshom kazav v'yeshom rizrach shel yamavzik tinuf o akum le'inyan le'inyan kadosh u'kdusha d'zevei hefzik b'nei olashas v'tzibur." He said, right, ad k'dei kach, that there were poskim, though we don't poskim this way, who said that if you had either filth, right, like a bathroom, or idols, or an idol worshipper, whatever, between you and the other set, so the minion would be mafsik, right? That's how anathema it is to tefillah, that it would be mafsik. But to resolve, so if simon kovir, no, if lomim is it, the tashmir is what it's me'od, kamo akam, otinof, algabe, basic nez, the osir, kevin de ilamafsik, and linyan serif lanos, amen. So therefore, he writes that if you had, like, a vodazara or an extreme filth on a shul, that would be problematic, right? Because it would prevent Anias Amen. Okay, right? So, like, you have a shul, you have a yeshiva that takes over a Catholic school, you know, take off the crosses, right? Now, this is in Staten Island we have this. The yeshiva of Staten Island, right, which was, you know, Moshe Feinstein's, you know, the branch yeshiva of MTJ Manhattan, right? And, you know, until today, Reuven Feinstein's Rosh Yeshiva is an old Catholic school. Still has a church tower.
I understand. Middle school.
Awesome. There you go.
In Europe, it's common. They always, the old churches, like, they don't use it. The Jews buy it, and then they take off the crosses.
There you go. So he says, "Avak avdein mechid shol bar mavzekim yisrael avim shuvah shemaim kol shekain the mavzekim tefilas los lamal shemaim kain lecharos los bavim yon shelos." So he said, even though a metal won't stop your tefila from going up to God, but you know, a cross somehow spiritually pollutes the air.
A crisscross. Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, you know, around Christmas you might have this more problem, right? You might have You know, suddenly
it's a shira. It's not a.
It's not an ashira. They're not worshiping this tree. It's not a. If they worshipped it, yes, it's not. It's just decorative.
It's not.
It's not an ashira. It's not a worship tree. We had a shiloh with an actual ashira a few months ago. It was actually planted, and the guy brought carbon to it every morning.
Christmas is avodah zara.
Yeah, but a Christmas tree, even if you think Christianity is avodah zara, which we talked about for weeks, right? The tree is just a decoration. But sometimes you'll have an angel, you'll have a cross with a Jesus on it.
But still, he's not.
No, but a cross with a Jesus on, that's
it's not an Asherah tree.
No, it's not an Asherah, but that's what we're talking about. Right? Like objects of Avodah Zarah around. No?
Yeah,
not the tree.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm saying you could have these around. So he says at first glance,
there's some people that bow down to trees, no?
There are. Yeah. You have a Wiccan, then you could have you could get into trouble, right? These new age witch, you know, spirit worshippers, Wiccans. Donnie's like, what is your weird country over there, America? Yes, like there are new age pagans who worship like spirits and stuff like that. Yes, there are. Yes.
Sounds like a lot of opportunities.
Donnie's like,
and you think Belgium is weird.
America is weird.
First of all, I don't know. Maybe you have Wiccans in Belgium. Second of all, I don't live in America. And I haven't lived in America in years. Okay?
At least Canada is okay, Rabbi.
I don't know how many Wiccans there are in Israel, you know? I don't know. But anyways, so he says, I would have said it's Osir, Elomai. Hey, Nemes. The Mavurber Amah Morgan Avram Zun Siti Yavam Shimon Shuvas Adeshem Chaim Basakum Yisham Shazachak Motel Isbal Bevayis Sheish Bavo Dezara. He said, "Elamai the Ramah, based on the Shuvas Adeshem." Come on. What?
I don't want to.
You've had vacation for weeks.
I know.
Already, you're tired.
His body's used to sleeping all day.
What? No. Just woke up. Whatever. I'm gonna stay. I'll stand for now.
I woke up early. To learn Torah.
Yes.
I was up early in the morning. I had to figure out whether Re'e was Re'e or Re'e. Exactly. Ashkenazim. Sorry. Anyways. No, just, you know, I know you're tired, but don't be. She says, Rakshi Ashapanami Menu. He says, but the Ramah writes, so what should you do? Turn away. Right? Bidi Evan, you're allowed to daven, just turn away, right? That's the Mara Zion thing again. Right? That's the cover it, turn away, etc. She'ema with Zerl Mizrach, Yinat Lazarach, and Mishan the Kol Tfilas, Enu, Bayar, Mileas, Gilulim. And therefore, even if, and this is, right, this is what the postman takes explicitly, even if, but to turn away would mean that you daven to a direction other than towards Yerushalayim, right? Which in Chotzar it means east. But here, obviously, doesn't, right? This is an exception to the rule. It's better to daven, right? If you're in New York, yes, I guess. In Efrat, we daven north.
We're
if you're in New York, instead of davening out east towards the Atlantic, it's better to daven west, and people think you're worshiping, I don't know, Texas, you know, than to think that you're worshiping Jesus. You know, if you have the option, you know. And no one will think that a New Yorker is worshipping Texas. La Hayyidurim.
Yankees in the South.
What? Maybe they're looking towards California. But Texas, nished.
Does that mean in Istanbul they're always doing west? This is weird. We never really think about those countries that are on the other side.
No, so yeah.
We don't? Okay. Well, now you do. You, the Sephardi among us, is the one who ignored the Sephardi.
Like Tokyo and Tokyo, Japan, and China.
That's not near Turkey.
What? I'm just going more along that direction.
Turkey, Japan. No, not the same country.
What?
Morocco, they would pray north.
Anyways, good. So he says, Mishum to Kodos Meiraz. He said, anyways, we're in place of a Dazara. Fine. Now. Okay, I'm going to skip this paragraph. Right, okay, yeah, I'll say this paragraph outside, because this is very... Chassam Sofer has a bit of pilpul here, right? Which is, everyone wants to know, why did Moshe only leave for Makas Barad? Right? Right, why for the rest did he...
Because he didn't want to slip in the snow.
So he says, or this is very like pilpulish, it's like, because during Barad, what's the problem? What does the Truman Sedation say? This is very pilpulish, right? What does the transition say? It's better not to daven in Makom Avodah Zarah. But if what? When can you daven in Makom Avodah Zarah if the alternative is being distracted? So the other Mako, there were people outside. But during Barad, there was fiery hail coming from heaven. So he's like,
I don't think anyone's
outside. No one's outside. So, oh, they'll daven outside this time. Oh, that's very pilpulish. Okay, fine. So now he says, however.
Wait, no, but during Bart, he left the city.
Correct, because meaning he wasn't worried because it was in all of the whole country. So he wasn't worried anyone would be in the field braving the fiery hail. So he's like, right, the other ones, he would have had to. Right,
so he should have stayed in the country.
No. Because he was worried, like some observer says, in the past, there was nowhere to go. Anywhere he would go, he'd be distracted, so you might as well stay inside the palace.
Right.
Right? They can give you a private. I'll end the maka, but I need a private room to daven first. Right? But, okay, whatever. I don't need the pilpul. It's fine. But he says, however, maybe, according to the Taz, who says that if the Avodah Zarah is on top of the house, it'll act as like a spiritual barrier, right? Which we've now introduced now another factor. Maybe this would only be true if the Avodah Zarah is at your level. But if the Avodah Zarah is above you, right, it creates a metaphysical, you know, block.
Well, that...
Right?
Sounds kind of Avodah Zarah itself.
So, right? So he says, maybe that's what you could argue based on Taz. But he says in Bayes, he says, nah. But in the end of the day, I think that if necessary, it is mutter. Maybe Mogen Avram, the Dechan Ramav, Chen Mishnah Brura, etc.
It's hard for the eyes to see so far. So high.
And he says, yeah, he says, look, there are many poskim who disagree with this, right? And they just say it's just not true. Again, if you can avoid it, so fine. So now, skip down. So he notes that there's a machlokes. He said, Lechatchili should be machmir, but go to Achen b'shasatchak, like the middle of that paragraph. So the Achen b'shasatchak, Mo b'shiloso, Yishuz mocham, Magen Avram, Levush. But he says, look, not everyone agrees with the Taz at all. And a lot of them just say there's no such thing as a spiritual block. Right? Ain't davar kazeh. Right? There's no such thing as a spiritual block. Magen Avram and others.
Sounds a little.
Right? Yeah. So he says, so even if you normally want to machmir like the Taz, in this case, you could make it. Came into Yishlanu. He says maybe, but the Mishnah Berurah says if it's just arai, like you have to rent a space, it's mutter. Meaning, right? The Mishnah Berurah says, you know, you want to be machmir like the Taz, great. That means that you shouldn't buy a shul and a second floor, right, in an apartment building, the second floor be a church. But happens once in a while. So again, b'shas atchak, not all the time. You can rely on the majority of poskim who don't believe in this like spiritual block. So and then in Gimel, right? It's not a Avodah Zarah. He's just saying. I don't know what. You're giving power. It's. I don't know what this means. It's like. He says it's like Tinofez. It's like you can't daven your bathroom. So you can't daven a house with. Right. It's not giving it power.
It's like blossom.
Not like not because the Avodah Zarah is standing there and stopping your tefillah. It's like dirt.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's like not davening where there's a diaper.
Well, why does it make a difference?
I don't know because we take symbolism seriously. Okay. Look at Gimel. What's his conclusion? When you build a shul, but now he takes another detail, which means not only shouldn't you have a church above it, what shouldn't you do?
Some symbols.
You should know. You shouldn't build a shul on the first. Yosef shouldn't build a shul on the first floor of an apartment building, when on the second floor will just be a regular Christian. Right? Because they might have... Correct. Right? He's Machmir. And he says, it's not just that. Even if it won't be a Christian, right? He doesn't like having shuls on the bottom of apartment buildings at all. like Dimri, right? Why?
Oh, you thought of it.
Why? Because what did the Talis say? There are two things that create this spiritual barrier. One is Avodah Zarah, and the other is Tinuf. And he says, at best, there's going to be a bathroom on one of the floors. Right? He said, if you take the Talis seriously, that you should, right, symbolically, not have anything, you know, spiritually or physically dirty above the shul, that means you should also avoid shuls in apartment buildings where there are bathrooms above. Right? Now, I don't know. This may be why in some shuls, or but they medrash, maybe now that I'm thinking about it, it might be why some shuls, or it could just be because it looks nice. But this is just me speculating. I have no source what I'm about to say. Right? Even if they're not the reason, it does help it. I'll put it better. Right? In a lot of shuls, what do they have? The main shul takes the whole height of the building. Right? You know, it's big and glorious, right? And like, even though there are like bathrooms and stuff on multiple floors, it's never above the main sanctuary. Right? I assume that this is not the reason why, but it does happen to help. Right? Because the main sanctuary takes the whole building, so you could have a bathroom above the hallway, right? It's not the... Anyways. Okay. For all I know, that's why the bathrooms are all downstairs here. I have no idea. You know, I have no idea. Right?
I see that in Rancho.
For all I know, that's why they do it. I have no idea. I'm making this up right now, so anyone's listening in the record, say, oh, you're wrong, it's not why we do it. I admit it, I have no idea what people do it. I'm just saying. It works for the Taz. Fine. Okay, skip to the next paragraph. Then he brings a story. just to follow it this up, and he says, "Vyotipas and iskarti ma'ase b'shnatari tzadibes nikra nikreti mi'ir Disburg li'ir Essen hasmucha." Where are these places?
Essen's in Holland.
There you go. And where's Disburg?
Not sure.
Okay. Well, he was called to Holland. There you go. Okay. Miudim Mizrach b'shem. Bisham, Odora Shela Shinitavit Bisham, La Shesh Bakoshana, so Krim, Hayu, Ha. Please help me.
Grossgemeinde.
What is that? What is that?
Gemeinde is like a sort of community.
Good. So what is it? Grossgemeinde. What is it? Community
it's
center?
A big community. So,
community center, probably. So, what is it? A community center, probably? Every year they'd rent, probably a community center. Yeah. I'm assuming. Makom meruvach avur kol yudei mizrach b'shem leitpalel b'shem misham yamim narim. So same shaila, right? The Harvard question. They rented out the community center for Yom Narayim, right? They had a little shtivol. But then Rosh Hashanah, you know, you need a bigger place. They rent the community center. V'shana halazo lo'olei b'dun l'skor makom meruvach hazeh mechil kol yudei mizrach v'sachru avarama olam anikreis koshlis
Katlishes
Jugendheim. Donnie, help me! You know Yiddish, what is going on?
Well, you
Katlishes Jugendheim.
A Christian hall.
A Christian hall, what is it? I don't know.
Where is it?
What? In Dalid, here. Dalid. Jugendheim. What am I reading? Jugendheim. Donnie, I rely on you for these things.
He says it's...
Yeah, I get it, thank you. It was a Christian hall, right? And it wasn't the community center, it was the YMCA. Young Men's Christian Association. It was a Christian... What? That's what it stands for.
It's a song he loves.
Well, that's what YMCA stands for. There you go. Okay. Habonu Yachan Beis Tfilo Shalem, right? It's the ulam of a church or something. Uvu ulam atzmo gamkein tmonot shelo tzlamim, rak shel yamim eilu motziim misham atzlamim al tmonot madbikin alem niyorot zman al azeh. Said, there's a lot of, getchkas and pictures of Avodah Zarah in it, but when the Jews rent it, they take out all the crosses and they cover all the pictures of, you know, the Virgin Mary.
Besides the Latin, maybe.
Correct. Besides the Latin thing, that this is dedicated to our Lord. But besides for that, right? The Harabiner. Right? Harabiner. The Rabbi. Misham Ratzel Lahamis Al Yidei Mizrach Sheyeskimu Lazeh. And the Rabbi wanted to convince these Jews that it's okay to do that. They asked me, "Can you do it?" And he said, "Usir." Why? And why? Tell me why you thought it was us, sir. No! Come on. Because this isn't that trila. Right? He said, the social hall of the church is a bayit hamukta lekach. It's a base of avodah zarah. Right? And this is always the key.
Why?
Because it's part of the church. He said this was in the church. Right? They had like a basement. Right? Which is sometimes used for things also. Right? They have a bunch of crosses around. They're... You're renting out the basement of the church, right? And they're clearing out the crosses for you. Sounds he good. Said, this is not a multi-faith room. He said, a multi-faith room is, or a hotel, right, which happens to have crosses and you cover them. That's not a question of Beis Avodah Zarah. That's a question of? Maybe Mara Zion and this sort of more spiritual Tumah of Avodah Zarah. But the basement of a church, right, which is attached to the, you know, it's like Dani. You know, it's like, look, we need a beautiful place. I think we're going to rent the Sistine Chapel, just not the chapel. All the other rooms in the Sistine Chapel for Yom Narayim. He says, right? That's not what we're talking about.
Not a good idea.
Well, in other words,
right?
Yeah.
Upasakti Lisser, I said, Nisht! Because that, he said, look, if it's, again, let's be very clear. He says, if it's a multi-faith room, a generic room, a hotel, so there, there's no problem with Beis Avodah Zarah, right? There's a potential problem with Maris Ayin, which you solve by covering or turning away, and there's a potential problem of the spiritual Tumah of Avodah Zarah, which you solve by either saying, that's only Lechatchila, or you take it out of the room. Right? But if it's part of the church, so now we're back to the sugya on Yud Beis and Yud Zayin, which is? It's a Beis Avodah Zarah. And what's the only way of making that mutter? Because you'll tell me, in Europe, they all turn, right? What's the rule? Bittul. Right? Meaning, in actual church, you can turn it into a non-church. But that's, right? That's fine. Right? This is not what's happening here. Is you're just renting space from the church. That you can't
still the church.
But no, in other words, I mean, like we say in Cambridge, you see, there's like halls and everything. But does that make a difference? Actually, because should you also say that as of, also if you
potentially, or you have to figure out whether something is actually religious or just it was owned by religious people.
It was owned, but is it most people?
Because not every hall in Harvard was a church, right? Some of it was just like it was a Christian-owned school, so they have things, right? Meaning the same way, like this room is not like, you know, is the shul social hall, right? It's still donated lilui nishmas, you know, you put plaques for anything.
No. Rent the hall that's for simcha in a place like this.
So he says no, right? He says afla hedyot aser. That's his last line.
Not that one.
Right? Aser. Right? He says aser afla hedyot. Right? He said that. Right? And he says yeah. The church, you know, social hall. That's aser. Even lehedyo. That's not about tefillah. Right? That's back to sugya new beis zion. Right? Okay. Now. Okay. Yeah. And then in the last paragraph. Okay, we'll leave the last paragraph. Okay, fine. But that was why he ossered it. Okay?
Okay.
Fine. So. What?
Such a fun word to say.
What?
Jugendheim.
Okay. I'm so happy. Okay. Now skip down to the last page, to number 14, to the Piskei Tshuva. Let's just get a few more things out here. Because there was some interesting stuff here. Okay. So he says, Makom sheish smalei avodah zarah sfarim itonim shaminud v'zuama. So now the Piskei Tshuva said, okay. Now, if the issue is about spiritual, right, tumah, so now the Piskei Tshuva brings up another question. What happens if there's no cross there? What is there? There's a pile of Kfira books. Right? Richard Dawkins books piled up to the ceiling, right? You know, big, right? Atheism. It's not about the Zara, it's just Kfira.
Oh, it's not the Bible? It's...
No, big books about how God doesn't exist and God is evil. I don't know.
It feels like heresy.
Yeah, heresy. Right, he said, if the issue is so, what about that halacha? Right, what about that? Do you say that the same thing is true? If it's not, you're not in a thing used to be a Christian thing. What are you? You're in any secular campus nowadays. We're what? they're anti-religious, right?
Secularism.
Yeah. And you happen to be in a classroom which is piled up with books about how God is false and religion is the delusion of the masses and, I don't know, Mashiach. Right? Can you daven in such a room?
Yeah.
Right? This room is dedicated to our, you know, to
Lord.
Our,
no,
to our, to our non-Lord, right? No. Richard Dawkins, right? Christopher Hitchens. I don't know.
Maybe the Chazara, the Chazara davening. Maybe he would pick up a book and stuff.
Or whatever, you know. Most of Ched al Pesha, right?
No.
Right. That'd be even worse, right? He'll be during Chazara Tashas. Be like, oh, what's around, right? I can't never pay attention to Chazara Tashas. I need a sefer. Oh, there's not a sefer. Let me see. God is, you know,
we don't have a chashash that they're going to do that.
It's like, I'll give you an idea of what's in these books. Here, my phone's off. Give me a phone. Search Richard Dawkins, God of the Old Testament. Right, just to give you an idea of what you might pick up during davening in this place. God of the Old Testament, Richard Dawkins.
Really, that person would go there and he would.
If you want to understand why.
Create their own religion.
Listen. If you want to understand why you might think there's Tumah here, let me just read you one quote. Okay?
God of the Bible quote. Yeah.
Here we go. Yes, this is the perfect quote that I was thinking of. Why one might think that you shouldn't dive in a room with this book, okay? This is an actual quote by Richard Dawkins. Okay? The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. So you understand why one might think that you might ask the Shaila if you have a book with that quote.
It's not Avodah Zarah. I mean,
in a Hanami. But if you think the issue isn't Avodah Zarah, but is spiritual ichiness, right? A book by Richard Dawkins is about as ichy spiritually as one gets. I mean, that quote is like.
Oh boy.
I mean, like, what is wrong with the man? Okay, fine.
That's what you call overkill. Like, yeah. It's not just calling God bad.
Wow.
It's like, oh God.
Fine. So he says, this is what he writes. Right? You shouldn't daven or even bring in your tefillin into a place with a, you know, cross and everything. Fine. So the Piskei Chuvot quotes poskim who say, well, if the issue here isn't Avodah Zarah, but it's, right? Meaning Avodah Zarah is Yud Beis Yud Zayin. But we're not talking about Avodah Zarah, we're talking about a hotel.
Right.
But what are we saying? That the very presence of objects of Avodah Zarah in some spiritual sense is like a bathroom, right? A quote like that, Richard Dawkins, if that was under the cart, can you imagine davening Shacharis? Big quote, right? Instead of Da Lifnei Miata Omid or Shavisi Hashem Negdi Samid, right? You have God of the Bible is the most, you know,
fictional.
You know, is the most nasty character in all of, you know, fiction. Can you imagine davening in front of that? I understand why that's a zuhama.
That sounds pretty,
you know,
disgusting.
It's a, there's something. So he says that there were poskim who said that once you're entering this realm, it should be asur even.
Yeah, that makes
good
sense.
This is in a lecture hall in Cambridge.
Would they compare it more to a multi-faith room where if you have no choice?
Exactly what he says. No, and that's what he says. He's mechadesh that a lecture hall in a university of Richard Dawkins is like the multi-faith room, which is best to avoid. That's what he's saying. It's a house of where there's apikorsus around is not a base of a dezara, so it's not usher. Fully. So, but it's best not to, just like, that's exactly what he writes. Bidyuk. Right? Bidyuk, so if you have the choice, right? If you have two classrooms next to them, one is Richard Dawkins' room, and the other is, you know, Beryl Septimus, right? He was the head of Jewish studies at Harvard, a big Talmud Chacham. His hall, I'm sure you don't find this Kvila, right?
Probably.
So, Pashur, you should go daven in, you know, I mean, I remember a friend in Harvard, a old Chavrusa of mine, who he said that one semester Professor Septimus gave a class. And the class, the schedule officially, you know, normally they're like, you know, first period, second period, right, 3 o'clock, whatever, was between Mincha Mariv in the shul,
that is,
right? That was like where he gave it, right? He gave it like a chabura,
so cool.
Right? He's a big Talmud Chacham.
This is in Harvard.
Harvard. But
that's incredible.
Well, look, he took over for Tversky.
Right.
Professor Tversky was a Chassidish Rebbe.
Right.
He was the head of the department. What is the Talmud Rebbe? Isidore Tversky, or Rav Yitzchak Tversky, was the head of Jewish studies at Harvard and the Talmud Rebbe.
There's a 12-step.
Seriously?
Seriously.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Guys, between Mincha and Marv, we're going to be teaching class.
Yeah! Good! And you'll get credit for... Anyways. So he says... He says, "Va'avim ispal b'cheder shoshamin and dram tamdei manal." Mekomo yishtaz lo ispal b'kviz v'inyan zer. He said, "Even if those aren't there," he said, "I wouldn't." He said, "Even if there's no books there," he's like, "I'm not sure I would make Richard Dawkins's hall my kavua shul."
Yeah.
Right. He said, "Like once in a while, he doesn't have his books around. I hear." Right. But again, like the Taz, right? You don't
or
do b'kviyut.
That versus like St. Paul's room.
Well, then yesh ladun, right? You have to figure it out. Okay, fine. But yes, that would be correct if the option was St. Paul's room. Right? You daven in Richard Dawkins' room.
Right.
But if the option is Richard Dawkins or Beryl Septimus, you daven in Septimus' room.
As I push it.
Also, because then Septimus would be there and, you know,
well, what if you
have this
more
close. What? Man, I think he listens to
me. If you would have more Kavana in Richard Dawkins' room.
Then Septimus is impossible.
Septimus needs much more kavanah than in the team.
Yeah,
so that's also a problem.
In a chanami,
there's a party going on.
Correct. So now he says, "Ve'ein preira biado kagon cholam uspaz v'cholim sheishem dvar matvayim anal v'kasha loike machalot lo tzeit lacheder acher." So many him v'afilin him tzach belosh moneshei shlo kibun mizrach. And obviously, if you have no choice, you're in a hospital bed. So what do you always do? This is back to the crosses. Turn away.
My
if you
dad,
can't go to your fine.
My dad was in a hospital with the cross.
So now he says, and now he says, but now he just adds, just, this is very practical, but it's obvious. He says, right? He said, you're so weak, or the guy is at temporary paralysis or something, God forbid, and he can't even turn. So close your eyes. Turn away. I mean, do whatever you can to minimize it, right? That's obvious, right? This is not like Greitz Alumdus, right? Right? Meaning, look into the sitter if you need to, right? Close your eyes. And whatever you do, and this is obvious, I think, on the Mars Ein level, you'd base, even if you end up facing, right? Don't do the bows in the direction of the cross.
Turn
right?
Sideways.
Right? Just don't do it, right? That's why I push it.
The cross is right? In every sign. It's a nautilus.
So then don't bow. So then just ignore the bows. Correct. Just don't do the bows. Because then you're really getting into the Maris Ayin of Daf Yud Beis. Right? Correct. That's the, you know, money falls in front of the, you know, Avodah Zarah. Don't bend down to get it.
Or bend down in a different way.
Correct. Okay. Now, in his footnotes, he quotes from the Leket HaKemach in the Tshuva of the Beis Naftali, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, I'll say this outside, that he was so convinced of this power, you know, this, like, sort of, you know, of not doing Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha around, you know, Avodah Zarah things, that he said the best, right, the Baal Shem Tov once went into a place, a Beis Akum, right? Guys, he went into a Beis Akum, and when he left, he said... He was very happy because he said, "I managed to not even think about Torah while I was there." Right? So you see, the Baal Shem Tov thought, and this is based on which sugya? The one in Shabbos, right? That you shouldn't even bring your tefillin in, right? Meaning,
well, that's not thinking.
So he took it even farther. Right? I mean, clearly this is an expansion.
Right.
But the Baal Shem Tov, I'm just showing you conceptually.
Right,
he expanded and said, even Torah, right? If you can avoid thinking Torah, you should do it. Okay.
Where? Birthday
what? In this like hotel room with the crosses, right? He took it out to the kach, if you can.
Even the bathroom is short, that's all around the Torah. That's what he's saying?
So this is not a bathroom, but he's saying based on like that type of thing, if you're in, right, once you equate, you know, a bathroom with a place with like crosses, right, because it has like a spiritual dirtiness.
He says you can't even be the Torah.
So Lechatchila, he says you should avoid, yeah, exactly, even thinking Torah in such a place.
In a Avodah Zarah place.
Right, where there's a Avodah Zarah, not a church, which is usher to go into, Bechlal, right,
yeah,
but like
a hotel
with a cross or something.
Okay.
Correct. Okay. So then in 60, he notes several poskim who upon which he bases this notion that... But that kfira is like avodah zarah for these purposes, and he quotes the Belzer Rebbe, who says you shouldn't daven near newspapers of Zuhama, right? And therefore he says, I love this, right? He says, therefore I think, yesh ladun, that maybe, look at the last line in 60, yesh la'ayin, le'inan machshirim elektronim ha'mishadrim apikorsos v'zuhama, right? Should you daven near your smartphones, achmona litzlan, because they spew kvira. He's a very radical chassidish pasuk sometimes. It's like you shouldn't daven with your cell phone on in the room. It's mamish. It emanates kvira and tuma. I'm not sure you have to take it that far, but I thought it was an interesting application.
If it's a kosher phone, just with SMS with the kosher phone.
Oh, you're a tzaddik. Then you're a tzaddik. But if it's a smartphone, it's one.
It doesn't have internet.
See?
It just has
you can dive in your his phone. The rest of our phones, you gotta park it outside the door.
You can't even use it.
Outside. It's not just you can't use it during davening. Park it outside. It's metame the makom. Okay.
We're going to put a box outside, so place your phones here before davening.
Yeah.
I have a question, Rabbi. So, about the whole thing. It's normally, like, places like universities, normally these places like Cambridge or Oxford, most of them are secular ideas.
Correct.
About how they live by. So, would you still say they still have.
Yes.
We saw, like, problems there of going there, but the Kiddush is not really. Is there like before?
No, correct, but it might be. Correct, but it still has symbols and stuff like that. That's why it's not Usher Mikra Adin.
Yeah.
Right, but it's still not a great thing. Right? That's the whole thing. It's not a church. No one's saying it's a church. Right? Okay. In 62, he quotes from the Zichron Yehuda and the Atzei Chaim that it's even considered Shasat Chag. Let's say you work in a Christian organization. Right? Or not a Christian organization. You work by... Not like a... I don't mean you work for a church. That's a different thing. You worked 50 years ago for Turkey Hill Ice Cream. None of you. Right? It's an ice cream company. Yeah. But it was run by devout Christians. So, you know, just like, you know, a good frum Jew might have, you know, you go to their office, they might have some svarim around, right? So they might have had Bibles, crosses, whatever. Right? Meaning, again, it's not usher to work in Turkey Hill.
Right?
I was a pashut. So what's the halacha? Right? So he says, that's considered shasat chak. Meaning, even though every day you might have to daven mincha during the winter, right? You have to, you know, during the winter you can't get home from mincha, you have to daven to work. Right, so you have to daven in this building, and there are churches, there are the crosses in different places. Like that's just the nature. They're devout Christians. That's what they wanted, right? So it's mutter to work there, right? You're not working for Christianity. You're working for an ice cream factory,
right?
So he said that's called shasat chak. Also, don't worry about
it. Was it kosher?
Right? What? I don't know how long it's been kosher for. If you ever get a chance to go to the Turkey Hill factory, well worth it. Much better than the Ben and Jerry's factory. Like in terms of like the experience.
There's one here.
No, in America. In America. It's 5 minutes out of Hershey Park.
Oh.
5-10 minutes out of Hershey Park. Excellent. I took my kids. It was so much fun. It was great. Like, for kids, for adults, the history, the experience, they give you a tremendous amount of ice cream. It's
great. You can't concentrate, you shouldn't daven at all, or if it's in a place of a desire, you shouldn't daven at all?
Possibly. Right? Possibly.
Or you should daven just...
No, in general, we have halacha like that. Or if you really can't concentrate, there are certain times when we don't let you daven because
like
of lack of concentration. Nowadays, we're more makeyel because
more
we assume...
Of wine, you should
for all types of things, correct. Okay. Now he notes that once you're equating this to tinuf, so the halacha is you can cover it, but not with a kisru shakuf, right? Kisru shakuf doesn't work. Not a transparent cover. Right? Okay, fine. Correct. Exactly. Okay, fine.
Kind of takes the way up.
Now just skip to the last tshuva I have here. This is from the Vitel HaChachma. This is where he got the kfira stuff from, or one of the tshuvot, and he quotes the last source.
16.
Din knisa tefila b'ulam shenimtza bo semel shel minut. Said Valdat Shelatoki, Arbe Pamim is Damain Lo Suda Shom Mitzvah Itzel Beneki Latino. Sudor Elam It Kamin Ulamo Shom Malone, Shenimtza Shom Degel Semel Minut. Right? So I don't know what this is, but he said sometimes we're invited to this place. It's not just like it happens to have a book. There's a flag of minut. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know if it's a Richard Dawkins flag.
Vatican
or it's
flag.
No, it's minut, not avodah zarah. So I don't know exactly what he means.
Ah.
Right? Like, I don't know. It's you're renting a hall of the, right? The Atheist United. I don't know what this is. But fine. I have no idea what this is. But he says, can you go in there? When it's covered, at least. And he says, well, the Sefer Derech Pekudecha wrote, Sha'atzal Yisbal Bavayishinim Tzom Shem Itonim Shal Mechalei Shabbos Shedinim Ketzah. You can't even daven if there are newspapers of Mechalei Shabbos. Right? You missed that, Nachum. Right? He quotes the Derech Pekudecha. You can't daven in a place where there are newspapers of Mechalei Shabbos present. Fine? Meselin in Vaday Gara. And this is obviously worse. So he says... So here's the interesting thing. He says, on the one hand, now listen to this analysis. I think this is actually very lumdish. Right? He says, remember, the Gemara had said, how do we know you can't go into a base of a Dezara? It never actually said base of a Dezara. What was the original context? Daf Yud Zayin. Beit Minut. Right? That was the context. Harchek me'alechot harchekot minut.
Right.
So he says, wait a second. The issue of going into a church bichlal, we learn from the issue of going where?
Into a base.
To a base minus. Into a heretical place. Right, even though that may have meant a church. Even though that may have meant church. He doesn't realize that. So right? That probably originally meant church. No, in the Gemara. Mino was code.
Could also be a high side.
No, not in that Gemara. In that Gemara, yeah. The non-censored version says that it was a student of Yeshu, a notary, which tells you it was a church. Yeah. Right?
Like
so, in the uncensored version, it's clear that we're not talking about Richard Dawkins, we're talking about Jesus.
Fine.
Wait. But he says, but since the Gemara says the problem is Minos and not about Dezara, so you should say that Richard Dawkins, the shrine of Richard Dawkins, right, is Gamasser. Yeah, what are you saying, Johnny?
No, just a random question. We say when the first generation of Noskim, Jews and used to pray together.
Yeah, in fact, it was a problem. That's why we have a bracha, I guess.
That's why we say from that.
Velaminim, correct. Uh-huh. Right? Bediuk. Okay. So he said, at first glance, I tell you, this is the Isser. He says, no. And this is very lumdish. Why? Saying it's not that Minos doesn't have somewhat of an equivalent to a Dezara. It does. But putting up a flag of Richard Dawkins doesn't make it a church. Right? Meaning a secular... Right?
Anybody can do that.
Exactly. He said, even though you're right, Avu Dezara and Minos may have similarities halachically, in order to make something in a church so that it's always Usser... It's not enough that there happened to be Minos present. It needs to be that you've transformed it.
Yeah, so, it has to be also
right?
A spiritual.
He says, "V'chil shvil semel Minos analo nepach adain malonahu le'os beis Minos." Right? You didn't like put a picture of Richard Dawkins, and now this is a church of Richard. Like a mazeh.
If it's no, but
right?
Picture can't be
now.
Right.
He says, however,
but the picture can't be.
But
really.
he says, but let's say it's a lecture hall where bekviut, right? They hold conventions. This is Richard Dawkins' convention room where every morning we come and we talk about Atheists United.
Okay.
So then what does
another
he say?
Question.
So what is it Asr or Mutter?
Asr.
And is it Asr because of which sugya?
The Yud Zayin.
Good, Yud Zayin, like a church. Because we derive church from Beis Minos.
Yeah,
he says,
that's if you do that, but normally you have that guy.
He said, it's not normally, but he said, let's say I had found a place, right, where this is not a shrine. This is the Kavua Lecture Hall of Atheist United. So then what does he say? You can't even go in there
like a church. Atheist Anonymous,
yes, exactly. They're not anonymous. They like being very loud about it, but okay. Fine.
What did he say again?
Atheist Anonymous.
Fine. Therefore, he actually suggests that you shouldn't go there. However, he notes that this is only if it's mamish, like a place of a Dezara. But let's say it just happens to be that the hotel owner is a militant atheist.
What's a militant?
Like, you know, he's...
extreme.
He's extreme atheist, right? The hotel isn't an atheist hotel. He's just
a big atheist.
He's a Frommacher atheist,
yes.
Right? So he has a big picture, right? So he's a atheist Lacoladeus, right? So he has a big picture of Richard Dawkins on the front door. Why?
He likes Richard Dawkins.
Yeah, I don't know, because people have pictures of whatever. He likes him. So then he says it's Mutter. Why? Because the Gemara later on, this is something we didn't get to, but the Gemara says, it's on Mem Daled, that Rabbi Gamliel was once in a bathhouse that had an idol of Aphrodite on it. And someone said to him, right, Aphrodite was a pagan goddess, said, Rabbi Gamliel, how can you be in this bathhouse?
Wasn't the god of love or something?
Yeah. And he said, no. He says, no one said, let's take Aphrodite and build a bathhouse around her. Right? This was a bathhouse that from, you know, whatever, that pagans. From pagans put up to decorate, because, you know, just like we'll decorate things
it's a,
with...
It was a Christian own baptism instead of a Christian baptism.
This wasn't Christian, this was pagan. But correct. Yeah. He's saying, right, so but what is it, what do you derive from that Gemara? The Gemara is saying that even if it's an actual idol, it doesn't make the merchat a base of a dezara, right? Mm-hmm. It just means that the owner is from,
right?
Yeah. Just so, just like, so a from Jew may have a sefer Torah in the house, and a from Christian may have a, you know, cross, and a from Aphrodite worshiper has Aphrodite, and a from atheist has a picture of Richard Dawkins. He doesn't make it. He said there's a difference, but he said, Hanami, if this was where atheist anonymous get together, it'd be usher. But if it's just, yeah.
Bet Mechatz is not a mikveh. It's just a place where you
shower. A bathhouse. A schmitz. Right, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, but still, in the end of the day, it's difficult. Even though that he's not saying it's a movement or united, you know, thing, but still difficult.
No, so if he just has a picture, it's no different than going into a hotel which has a cross. But if they mamish, you know,
shower and bathe.
I mean, in other words, he's just like in a random. You mean in a random, you know, place and everything.
He has a big picture, Richard. Yeah. So then he says, so then it's mutter. Okay.
Would go in with like your friends. It was hot, so you would sweat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then he notes the same things about you know, davening there, that you should try to find a different place or cover it up, same thing, etc. Okay, and obviously he said if now at the end he just says if you can avoid going into that at all as a form of protest, that's fine. I mean, not a formal halacha, right? But if you told the guy, look, I'm not coming in because you're a militant atheist. Right. Okay, fine. Whatever you accomplish.
You
okay,
show
good.
Him.
Okay, the last point. All of this was about neutral spaces, right? Or even places, right, that you know, that are not actually whatever. Mm-hmm. But there is one more question. This was what the Rav got. The Rav got a slightly different question, and I gave full share on this. You can listen here on a Tuesday night, but I don't think anyone here was here. But the question was as follows. Okay, I'll read you the question very quickly. He says, in 1949, Myron C. Tyler, former U.S. representative to the Vatican and former chairman of the board of U.S. Steel, donated $1.5 million to his alma mater, Cornell University, for the construction of an interfaith center that would bear the name of his wife, Annabelle. The various religious denominations on campus at the time participated in an umbrella group known as the Cornell United Religious Work, CURW. Dr. Milton Konvitz, a professor at the School of Industrial Relations and son of Rabbi Joseph Konvitz, a respected Talmudic scholar, communal rabbi, member of Agudat Rabbanim, and friend of the Rav, was the Jewish representative to CURW on behalf of the 3,000 Jewish students and several hundred faculty members then at Cornell. The sketches presented at the CURW board contained depictions of human figures such as Joshua, Jeremiah, and citations from the Bible. So Dr. Konvitz argued against the acceptance of these depictions, but he was met with differing points of view. Okay, right, so they asked the Rav about, in this interfaith center, can we put up certain stained glass pictures and stuff like that, okay? Later, I'm skipping down. He says, in his submission to the Rav, Dr. Konvitz made it clear that he was limiting his query to the issue of the human images on the stained glass windows, as to the issue of having an interfaith chapel altogether was simply a non-negotiable item for the donor and the university. Okay, so the guy said, I don't want to know your opinion on interfaith chapel, right? I want to know whether I can put up stained glass windows. Okay, fine, with human depictions. Now, you tell me, is this the same as the multi-faith room in the airport?
Kind of, yeah.
So you might say yes, because look, it's just a multi-faith room. But is it?
Well, people are doing their own thing. Probably.
Not really, because what's really the shaila here? The shaila here is, can a Jew build a multi-faith room or multi-faith center? Is that a problem?
Yes.
So here it might be why.
It's
more problematic,
different,
and therefore what? Because remember, if the issue is giving credence to the other religion,
but that's,
davening in a neutral space.
You're doing it for your religion.
No. He gave money because he wanted an interfaith space.
So it's not that he necessarily,
right? I mean, it's not. Okay. He didn't want a neutral space. Right. He didn't say, "I want money for a meditation room."
Right.
He said, "I want the center for Jewish Christian." You know, joint prayer.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? Is that different?
Yeah.
Why? Different. Why? Why is it different?
I have a question. Is someone not? Is anybody? Is someone from Davin in a reform shul?
So Ramosha Feinstein thought that this was the same shaila.
Why was it the same shaila? Ramosha
Feinstein thought it was the same shaila.
Why?
What?
Why was it be the same thing? Or from shul and interfaith?
What do you mean? Because you're granting credence, and because it's Marzain, because people think that by you going in there, Ramosha thought it was usher. Standard Pesach, standard Orthodox Pesach.
It's still a Jewish thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's most of Chedal Pesha. It makes it worse. Because people might actually have a Havamina that you think that's legitimate. Right? Moshe thought it was worse.
Okay, yeah.
Right? He thought it was worse. I actually just wrote on this. I just wrote about this. But it won't come out for 4 weeks. But I wrote on it last week. What? On the VBM, because I know that it's in 4 weeks from now. Anyways, around Shavuos. Okay.
So, like here, they have the Shivini Shulah, the Shivini that the Ikulat.
Again, all these are the same. So, all these are potentially the same question, right? Again, you have to judge each one legufo, but they're potentially the same Shaila.
Is it that? I'm asking you.
The majority of Poskim felt not. The majority of Poskim felt not.
Most of the Poskim.
Correct. Most of the Poskim felt not. Right, I mean, they're getting into shilas. What happens? You know, you have a family member who's doing a bar mitzvah, right? Then post-com starts like, maybe yes, maybe no. Right, go after davening, you know, things like that. But in general, the post-com shy away from it and think it's a problem. So what do you think? Is this the same or is it more problematic?
Sounds more problematic.
It's more problematic. Why?
Because. Well, he's building.
Because what here you really are granting credence, right? Meaning saying, I want not a multi-faith room where anybody who's passing through the airport happens to be able to daven, but I want a place where Jews and Christians are going to daven together. What are you implying?
That you're supporting
Christianity. Yeah, you're supporting, century. that you're saying there's truth to it, right? You get into Maris Ayin, you get into be Mahan Abadzara, right?
Jews and Muslims.
So you're right, there might be a difference. Correct. There might be a difference with Muslims, because you say, look, right? I think that they have the same God, and we talked about this a little bit before, that having non-Jews presence is fine, because I can recognize their tefillah. Correct.
That's okay.
Correct. The Beis HaMikdash is a place for other... Right, Ramosha Weinstein, there's even...
Ramosha... Have a Christian dominant in the Beis HaMikdash?
Well, Vada, it's a pasuk in the Torah, that's the ideal.
The
pasuk. I said, remember we did this 2 days ago.
Yes.
Not davening to Jesus, davening to God.
Oh, okay, fine.
No, I'm not inviting someone to daven to Jesus in the Beis HaMikdash. But I'm saying the fact that he's not Jewish doesn't mean he can't become that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So Muslims, not a problem.
Rabbi, even before the Beis HaMikdash, it used to be.
Right, we saw Rabbi Vadia thinks you can daven in a mosque.
Right?
In a mosque. Forget it, right? In a mosque, right? Because it's. It's Hashem.
Right.
Right? Ramosha has a tshuva, if I remember correctly. If I remember, I think it's Ramosha has a shayla, where he paskins. Is either Ramosha? I saw it recently. That because halachically we recognize the value in a non-Jew's prayer, right, to God, you know, maybe it's Eliezer, I'm not even sure. You shouldn't, just like you can't walk Dalet Amos in front of someone davening Shmuel Ezra, you shouldn't walk Dalet Amos in front of a non-Jew davening. Assuming you think he's davening to Hashem.
Right.
Like a Muslim.
When I went to...
Right, that's already... Like, that's giving it quite chashivas, but yeah. Don't call me. I have to find it.
When I went to Hebron for Parshas Chayesara, they opened up the Arab side, which is...
Correct. Many of the posts can talk about the Maris Machpelah, which is a good example of a place, which is good. But the Rav, therefore...
Well, to be...
So, now, I saw someone online, but I think this is wrong, argue that the Rav would be against a multi-faith room... in the airport because of the tshuva I'm about to read. I don't think it's true. I think, right, the multi-faith room in the airport is, as we've seen, probably fine.
Right,
the interfaith chapel, the way he's posing it, is much more problematic on all the levels based on Avodah Zarah, granting credence to Avodah Zarah, Maris Ayin v'chulei. So this is his answer, just quickly.
Would it be uttered a daven there for somebody?
Yeah, I think so. Potentially, yeah. So he says as follows, I strongly object to the use of an interfaith chapel. The halacha is unequivocally opposed to it, and this prohibition is even more strict than that concerning human images. I understand, of course, what the statement implies in terms of public relations. However, I cannot help but be frank and outspoken about it. And the idea of a common house of prayer is absolutely irreconcilable with the Judaic philosophy of worship. This attitude stems neither from intolerance or narrow-mindedness, nor from a feeling of superiority or dogmatic charism, but from a deep philosophical insight into the essence of worship. We identify ourselves with our Gentile neighbors in all matters of collective endeavor, social, political, cultural activities. There should be no retreat on the part of a Jew from the full participation in all phases of national life. We're committed to all American institutions. However, the worship of God is not a social or collective gesture, but is a genuinely individual, most personal, intimate, and tender relationship, which cannot be shared with anyone else. Right? This is more hashkafic, right? But This is why the use of a common job is objectionable from the Jewish viewpoint and insists upon the uniqueness and individuality of the form of service and the place in which we worship. And again, he's distinguishing not you happen to have a bunch of people davening in this room, but we have set this up for different faiths. He said, that you can't do. It says, moreover, the halacha operates from the concept of the holiness of the synagogue. The main characteristics of holiness are uniqueness, separateness, a state of being consecrated to, determined by, and directed upon a single goal, a specific mode of worship. The holiness of the synagogue, like the sanctity of the home, finds expression in our respect for its privacy and exclusiveness. To be dedicated to a plurality of cultic modes is a pure paradox. This paradox becomes more striking when we consider the discrepancy between the Jewish service and the Christian form of worship. The Christian Orthodox Church sees in the act of worship a sacramental, mysterious performance which is fraught with otherworldliness and beatitude and is rooted in the miracle of transubstantiation. The whole organization, the service and the arrangement and surroundings, like the passive role of the audience, the soft music of the organ, the stained glass window, and the Gothic style of the architecture serve one purpose. Namely, the intensification of a feeling of supernaturalness, strangeness, and meta-rationality. In contrast to this, the Jewish service is distinguished by its simplicity. It asserts itself in a dialogue between God and man on the level of this worldliness and concreteness. It is conducted in an atmosphere of rationality, familiarity, and naturalness. Hence, I am unable to comprehend how it is possible to dedicate a chapel to mutually exclusive ways of worship, and how one could reconcile the Jewish service with alien architectural surroundings which symbolize the mysterium magnum of the Eucharist rite. The halachic law, like any other sound religious norm, insists upon worship keeping up with the original themes and motifs which reflect the living transcendental consciousness of the respective religious communities. It really is a tongue twister. Standardization and communization of man's relations with God, the most subjective, intimate, primordial experience, is as absurd as a similar attempt to standardize and communize human love, passion, romance would prove to be. The shibboleth of the religious act is its singularity. I am firmly convinced that it is our privilege and duty as Jews and Americans to oppose the Christianization of the synagogue, either in its architectural form or in the mode of worship, as it would be the privilege and duty of a good Christian to object to the Judaization of the church. Right? So that's very, very fancy language for saying, no, a joint church and shul together is giving credence, is respecting, right, another religion, is granting, right, credibility to that worship which we can't do, and that is clearly more problematic. I don't think the Rav would say the same thing about the random multi-faith room in the airport where there is none of that, and I think that, you know, online version, you know, claim was just wrong.
How would you consider
a multi-faith room? Is just, we recognize that people want to pray, we want to make people happy when they come to the airport, so we carve out a space.
It will be like vague, but just...
Correct, that's not this. This is, we want collaboration with Jews and Christians, we're making... No, that you can't do.